Hey, greetings, this is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. How's your day going today? I had a glorious day, praise God. I want to come to you today and bring a topic, Romans 3:10. No one is righteous explained. Romans 3:10. No one is righteous explained. You know, I've been refuting a evangelical heretic novice man in Australia. We're closely linked to a sister. That's why this matters. She's a dear godly saint. But this young man has gone off onto a heresy trail. And so he put up a posting on Facebook, many articles exposing me, lying about me. So I've just been rightly dividing the truth, trying to save his soul, trying to help other people in his family, helping strengthen this faith of this godly young woman. So God's going to be glorified in it. It's all good. He can't stand the test of God's word. It's slicing him to the core. I hope it brings him to repentance. But in one of the testings that I refuted on him, he had a quote where he tried to say all of mankind is sinful. And of course, I agree, man fell into sin. But he uses Romans 3:10 that says, no one is righteous. And this is common in the evangelical circles. They will often use Romans 3:10 and say, see, we're all too depraved. We can't do any good. None of our righteousness. We can't have righteousness. And this reminds me of filthy rags. We'll talk about that. They use the filthy rags verse from Isaiah, which I totally refute. I have an article link on that. They're masters at twisting this verse and many verses to fit their corrupt faith alone, grace alone theology from Martin Luther that allows them to stay in sin, worldliness, ongoing willful sin, and still be all right before God because, you know, no one can be righteous and we're all a bunch of sinners that can't help ourselves. The Bible doesn't say that at all about the saints of God. So first, let's go. Let's read Romans 3:10 through 13, and we're going to get into this, right? So this young man makes this quote from Romans 3:10 that no one is righteous. Let's read this. Paul says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Now, if you're an evangelical novice, and you're someone looking to deceive people or stay living in your sin, you stop right there and you go, see, nobody's righteous, so God doesn't expect anything from anybody. But that's not what we do, all right, if we're seeking the truth of God. We have to see what the word says in full. We have to go deeper. We can't stop right there. We can't say, oh, none of us can do righteousness. We have to go, what is God's word saying here? Now, again, I mentioned filthy rags. This is the same thing they do with filthy rags. In fact, this man's brother, his name is Jem. This man's brother, when I emailed him and we were reasoning in scriptures for a short time, tried to say, oh, we're all filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And when I tried to get him to explain it in scripture, and when I showed him the context that Isaiah was talking about idolatrous, hypocritical Israel. It was not about everyone for all times everywhere. It was just their righteousness was filthy rags to God because of their sin and their hypocrisy. Well, he ran off in the dark. And so this Romans 3:10 reminds me of that. It is terribly twisted scripture, taken horribly out of context. And so I put an article link below on this audio link. I should say you can look it up at don'tperish.com. At the teaching blog, look up the article on filthy rags. I go through it. I show you where people are righteous, and I'm going to do that here as well. So this Romans 3:10 goes along with filthy rags. No one, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. And it's totally twisted out of context. Terrible, terrible Bible study. And a Berean, Acts 17, goes much deeper in truth to get to what God has to say to us. And it's easy to do. It's not hard if we look in context and then we see, where did this verse come from? So let's talk about that. Context. What's the context of Apostle Paul in Romans 3? It's about unbelieving Jews and the law. Go read Romans 3, the whole chapter. Here's how it starts. Ready? I'm going to read it to you. Romans 3, verses 1 through 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? He's talking about the law. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them who were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? So we see the context. Paul is talking about unbelieving Jews, right? So that's the context. It's not for all of us, all times, that no one can be righteous. I'm going to prove to you many people can be righteous, and we are to walk in righteousness. So, number one, the context was Paul was talking about unbelieving Jews. Number two, where did this come from? Where does this saying come from? Paul is actually quoting David in the Psalms. Do these evangelicals even know this? Do they study enough to see this? Paul is quoting Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. And guess what? David is referencing the very same thing. Unbelievers. Let me read it to you. Psalm 14, 1 through 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Unbelievers. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that understand and seek God. They were all gone astray. They are all gone to become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see the context there? It's unbelievers. How about Psalm 53, 1 through 4? The fool has said in his heart, unbelievers, David's talking about, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called upon God. So Romans 3:10. The context, Paul was quoting Psalms, is unbelievers, the law, and the Jews. So it's easy to see how these evangelical heretics can twist Romans 3:10 and tell people, oh, you can't never have any righteousness. Terrible, terrible eisegesis Bible study. They're going to make it say what they want it to say, instead of exegesis, which is exiting the truth of God's word, which is what I'm trying to do for you here, to refute them so they don't cause you to stumble. They are proof texters, meaning they cherry pick Bible verses to build the theology they like instead of using in context all of God's word. That's what we need to be doing, right? Rightly dividing the scriptures, studying to be approved. I have articles at don'tperish.com at the teaching blog that prove how many people in the Bible were indeed righteous. Many, many, many people were righteous. In fact, we are called to live righteous before God. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, I want to be clear. The Bible is mostly about the amazing, incredible righteousness of God. And we do need Christ's perfect righteousness. We do not teach that you work your way to heaven. We need the grace of God to call us to faith through repentance because of Christ's shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. And we come to new life, and holiness and obedience is the fruit. And we endure to the end. I just preached the gospel to eternal life to you. So we need Christ's perfect righteousness. So the Bible is mostly about God's amazing, incredible righteousness. But we have a part, right? We're in a covenant. It's an agreement of two parties. We have a part in this covenant. And one of those parts is to walk in righteousness in our lives. We're going to cover a whole bunch of scriptures here to prove it. We're expected to live in good works. Ephesians 2:10 says we were created unto good works. We can have righteousness. And we're called to not keep living in willful sin. This is the fruit that we are born of him. We don't continue on in sin. We're going to read some verses on that, all right? So let's get to it. First in the Old Testament, Job 27, 6 through 9. As I'm reading these, remember, these evangelical heretics tell you, man can't be righteous. Remember that. Job 27, 6 through 9. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God hath taken away his soul, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? A righteous man versus the unrighteous. Job was a righteous man. Now here, these quotes are from David, who Paul was quoting in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Does David think you can have righteousness? Psalm 7, verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Very interesting. Psalm 15, 1 and 2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speak truth in his heart. That's the same David that Paul was quoting. David was talking about unbelievers not having righteousness. The evangelicals are scripture twisters in a huge way. Let's move on to Proverbs 8, 8. All my words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Isn't that glorious? It is. Proverbs 11:6. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Pretty clear right there. You can have righteousness. How about Isaiah? We talked about filthy rags. Isaiah 58:2, same author. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They were working righteousness. Proof positive right there. Now, this next verse, this comes right before the filthy rags verse that they love to say, oh, all your righteousness is as filthy rags to God, as they twist it out of context. The verse right before it, you know what it says? Listen to this. Isaiah 64, 5. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and in those is countenance, and we shall be saved. He's talking about those that work righteousness. Right before the filthy rags verse, yeah. How about Ezekiel 14:20? Though Noah, Daniel, and Job, hey, there's Job again, were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Those were righteous men that the Bible's describing right there. That's the Old Testament. That's just a few. Let's switch to the New Testament. How about our Lord and Savior's words? Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I guess Jesus believed you could be righteous. Matthew 21:32. This is about the man that Jesus said was the greatest man that ever lived, John the Baptist. Ready? For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Yeah, there you go. John the Baptist, a righteous man. How about Acts 10:35? But in every nation that feareth him, talking about God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. They're working righteousness. We can do righteous things, righteous ways. We can have our own righteousness. Not enough to be saved. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. But clearly by the fruit of God, and we'll see by the Spirit of God, we can be righteous. How about going to Romans 6:13? I love this. Neither yield ye yourselves as members, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Hey, we're to be instruments of righteousness. We teach people that instrumental music has become us as the instrument. We are now the instrument that we sing unto God with our lips. It talks about that in Ephesians, talking about music. Isn't that beautiful? How about Romans 6:16? This is awesome. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Hey, if we obey God, it is righteous. Isn't that a glorious thing? And is he not worthy of our obedience? Oh, he is. He purchased us with his precious blood. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Hey, 1 Corinthians 15 is the gospel chapter, right? Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Hey, we're to be awoke to righteousness, according to Paul. How about Ephesians 4:24? And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're new creations. We're created unto good works. Righteousness will follow that. If we're obeying God, keeping his word, keeping his ways. I just did a teaching on the apostles' doctrines. Are we keeping the doctrines of the apostles, or evangelical, Roman Catholic, or all these other flavors? Then we can walk righteous before God, keeping his word and his ways. I mentioned the Spirit earlier. What does the Spirit of God bring us? Well, we know about the gifts of the Spirit, right? And the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. How about Ephesians 5:9? The fruit of the Spirit, I quote this all the time, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. If you got the Spirit of God in you, and you're propagating your life with much fruit, like John 15 says, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, you will produce much fruit. Righteousness is going to be one of the fruits of the Spirit. I love that. How beautiful. Hebrews 12:11. Are you seeing a pattern here? People living, seeking, carrying out, being righteous, making evangelical teachers like this evangelical novice, liars, deceivers, or in some cases, maybe they're just unaware, but not in this young man's case. He's well aware, and they twist scripture to suit their own fleshly, carnal, worldly lives and bad theology from Luther, Calvin, and all these other false teachers, including Calvinists in his case. Hebrews 12:11. I already read Romans. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We can grow righteousness by the Spirit and by the Word. I got more. 1 Peter 2:24. Who is his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Yep, we need Christ's perfect righteousness. Then we live and seek after righteousness in our own lives as well, being holy, set apart for our glorious King, seeking after God's kingdom. 1 John 2:29. Oh, this one's awesome. Gotta love 1 John. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Do we need any other verse besides that one right there to prove evangelicals are wrong on their filthy rags and their Romans 3:10, no one is righteous? It says you can do righteousness. Yes, we can. What a glorious thing. How about Revelation 19:8? I love this one. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. You know, the Bible talks about keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, James 1. In Colossians, it talks about being spotless, unspotted, and blameless. Peter talks about it too. We're the bride of Christ. What kind of bride do you want? You want a whoredom bride that's all spotted up with the world, false doctrine, carnality, fleshly ways? Or do you want a pure, chaste, virgin bride in white? Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be spiritually. And it says, the righteousness of the saints. Now, those are just some of the verses, not all of them. But it shows you, we who follow Christ and are born of Him, we can live and walk in righteousness. We need His perfect righteousness. I preach the gospel all over America and all over my website. It just further proves how biblically inept these evangelicals are. Not to be trusted with God's word and truth. Don't take their teaching. They will deceive you. Jesus said, we know a tree by its fruit. Look at the fruit of these people's lives. Most of them are shipwrecked, lukewarm, feminized, paganized with Christmas coming up and Easter. Worldly, carnal, prideful, pride and vanity in their dress. Heretical associations and false teachers. Lukewarmness. Weakness, cowardice, hiding behind keyboards, not coming forth, delivering the word of God. And most of them have no kind of ministry. This young man only took to Facebook for ministry to expose me with lies and slander. He doesn't preach the gospel on the internet that I can tell. He isn't teaching anything anywhere where Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. This young man's not doing that. And you know what? It's a good thing because he's a novice heretic that will deceive people. But he takes to the internet to expose me because he's fleshly. He's trying to save face in his family, and it's not going to work for him. And I care for him. I love him. I hope and pray that Simeon repents and turns to the truth of God instead of all these false teaching Calvinist heretics that he is reading and taking teaching from. So what a glorious thing that we can know God's truth. We can throw out these false teachers. I want to leave you with this verse to encourage you, saints, to strive on. 2 Timothy 4 from Brother Paul, 7. Verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Wow. What a glorious, glorious promise, and what a glorious goal. Keeping the faith. To hear those well done and good and faithful servant words. What? Unto righteousness. Why? All for the glory of Christ who made it all possible. Without him, we could not approach the throne of God. Without him, we can't have our past sins washed away. Without him, we cannot defeat death. So it's all about Christ. And then what he does in us is this righteousness that brings him glory and honor. The Bible says it pleases him when his children walk in the truth. So I want to encourage you, reject these false evangelical heretical teachers that tell you Romans 3:10, no one's righteous. No, no one can do any good. No, you must reject that. I've come to see in these people that this theology and all of their easy believe, grace, faith only, it really is code language for they want to live in their sin, their lukewarmness, their pagan ways, their feminization. They don't want to come out of the world. They don't want to come out of churchianity ways. They don't want to come out of pagan holidays. And this is their way to stay in their sin and make themselves feel good. Luther did it. He was tormented about his sin, and instead of repenting and obeying, he came up with easy believe Reformation theology. This young man is doing the same thing. He laid in bed at night, he told me, crying about his sins, fearful for his soul, instead of repenting and following after Christ with all that he is in holiness. He ran to evangelicalism to make himself feel better. I hope and pray that he repents. So these men will lead you to great judgment and sin and heresy. Don't let them do it. They're going to be surprised on judgment day. Yeah, go read Matthew 7. They're going to be surprised on judgment day as they are turning away from the truth of God, twisting the truth of God, corrupting the truth of God, all for their itchy ears and the favor of men, partiality and families, it will not stand before a holy God. Let me encourage you, saints, seek Christ, seek his truth, and righteousness will grow in your life for his glory. Hey, I hope that's edified you. Romans 3:10 explained, no one's righteous, no one, not anyone can be righteous, is what they say. It's not what it says in context. It's not what it means. Go read those scriptures. Go test me. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Look up the article on filthy rags. Look up my articles on righteousness. I'm going to link them in this post on my Spirit and Truth blog. But if you're listening to this audio, go with the teaching blog and look up those articles. They'll help you in the truth. Hey, we love you all. Righteously dividing the word of God for the glory of God, so you're not deceived by the false teachers that abound everywhere. Spirit and Truth worship is the way to the Father. Follow Christ via the biblical gospel. It's on every page of our website. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, strive in him, and may God be praised.